Welcome everyone in the presence of the Lord. Amen. So let's go to the Bible. Let's open our Bible to the book of Ephesians, chapter number 5. We will hear what the Lord wants to speak to us for tonight. And the word that He wants to speak to us is from Ephesians, chapter number 5. Mentioning this word many times, and even I think during the prayer meeting. But tonight we will look what he wants to speak to us through this verse. Ephesians chapter number 5, verse number 16 and 17. Ephesians chapter number 5, verse number 16 and 17. It says, redeeming the time because the days are evil. Therefore, do not be unwise, but understand what the will of the Lord is. Now, these two verses and the content in these two verses are related. Paul is saying, redeeming the time because the days are evil. Why do we need to redeem the time? The reason is he says the days are evil. And how to redeem the time? But not by not becoming unwise. What is unwise? But not becoming, do not be unwise, but understand what the will of God is. Redeeming the time is related to understanding the will of God. How? What is the meaning of redeeming the time? What is the meaning? What is the definition of redeeming the time? And how it is related to the will of God? Okay, this is what it means by redeeming the time. Redeeming the time means the meaning is understanding what God wants you to do and where he wants you to be in a specific season and time. Write it down. Very important. It say redeeming the time is understanding what God wants you to do, the assignment of God, and where he wants you to be, the place of God, the work of God, the assignment of God, not necessarily ministry, but I will tell you what it is. What God wants you to do and where he wants you to be in a specific season, in a specific time. When you understand the will is what does God wants me to do now in this season and where he wants me to be planted in this season. Okay, that is the will of God. And when you understand and do accordingly, invest your time in the assignment of the Lord, invest your energy in the assignment of the Lord, and be planted in the specific place where God wants you to be. That means you are redeeming your time. Are we together until now? Now, let us come back to that verse, Ephesians chapter number 5, verse 16. It says, Paul is saying now, redeeming the time. Now, do you understand what is redeeming the time? To be where God wants you to be for that specific time and season, and to do what God wants you to do in that specific time and season. Redeeming the time because the reason is you got to do that because the days are evil. Now listen to me. The evil can manipulate your usage of time. That is one of the greatest techniques. That is one of the greatest wile of the enemy to destroy your life. How? The evil in the world will what manipulate your usage of time. Stay with me. People of God here, apart from those on the screen, are you there? Remove your mute and say amen. I just want to ensure even as we start, people are awake here. Remove your mute and say amen. Apart from those on the screen. Amen. Amen. Okay. Yeah, people are there here. Okay. Praise God. So, listen to me. It says redeeming your time. The reason is because the days are evil. The meaning of what Apostle Paul is saying, the revelation of it is the evil can manipulate your usage of time. Can manipulate your usage of time. For example, God wants you to be in the place A and wants you to do something. But what the evil will do, what the devil will do is divert you to be in a place B and give you a different assignment. And when you are doing that assignment, heaven has no focus on what you are doing. Heaven has no business with what you are doing because you are not redeeming your time. Evil is manipulating your usage of time. The devil is manipulating your usage of time. He's placing you in a place where God has no focus on. Heaven has no business to for that work that you are doing, for the place you are in. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Many times when I go and pray for people in meetings, after the meetings, I see a man who is 35 years old with two kids there, with a wife, and he is working as a hotel manager in a hotel. And then when I start to pray for him, the script of heaven comes in front of me, and by the utterance of heaven, I understand that the man was not supposed to be a hotel manager. Till now, he was supposed to be a voice to the nations, but he is now a hotel manager and trying to earn money and gather money for the 30 years of his retirement or 40 years of his retirement. That is what he is doing. That is what he is doing. The heaven had ordained him to be a prophet to the nations. But here at the age of 35, he is doing something that was not ordained by God, a place where God did not have any business for him to be. But why did he go there? There were evil planted. There were evil direction given to him. There were people sent by the devil to manipulate him to take up that route, to take up that way. And now at the age of 35, at that age of 35, heaven had a picture of him being a prophet, a voice that will lead people to repentance. But here he is laboring in something that God did not wanted him to be in, and investing his time and energy in something where he was not supposed to be there. That is the evil that has manipulated his time. Redeeming the time. Listen to me. Redeeming the time, because the days are evil. Understand what is the will of God and do not be unwise. We got to understand, listen everyone, where and what we are supposed to do in this specific time and season, by not letting evil manipulate the time, the usage of time. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. When I pray for a person and the person comes, oh, brother, God has blessed me. I have a very big business and this and that. But inside, he is empty. When I start to pray, I see the emptiness in that person. And then I locate, God did not wanted him to be there. The evil has manipulated his usage of time. He did not redeem the time. People of God need to understand and take this word seriously as a commandment from the Lord. Redeeming the time, because the days are evil, therefore do not be unwise, but understand what the will of the Lord is. Now, do you understand the meaning of what Apostle Paul is speaking? How redeeming the time is related to understanding the will of God? Because if you don't understand the will of God, you cannot redeem your time. You cannot redeem your time. I could have been earning money in a big corporate company until now because I had a job. I had a high paying job. But seasons change. And a man who is, you know, I was talking yesterday and praying with someone, and I told her the most powerful thing is to humble yourself before the Lord. Is to humble yourself before the Lord. You know what is humbling yourself before the Lord? Every day coming to the Lord, and not only by the posture of your body, but in the posture of your heart, prostrating yourself before the Lord, lying down before the Lord and telling God, I am dust, please, Lord, show me your ways. Forgive me of my sins. Am I aligned with the season? You know, when I started to grow in the Lord, I understood one of the signs of spiritual maturity is not when I have a big ministry. One of the signs of spiritual maturity, when my only desire is to be aligned with the voice of God and the seasons of God. Lord, I don't want to be unaligned with what you are doing in my life and on this earth. I want to be aligned with you. Hallelujah. A man who is truly a servant of God will not bother about the numbers in ministry, will not bother about how the ministry is growing. What he will strive and labor to attain is to keep himself aligned with the seasons of God, keep himself aligned with what God is speaking, and aligned himself with the will of God for a specific season, redeeming your time because the days are evil. Hallelujah. Are we understanding? Amen. If you don't listen, if you don't use your time wisely, you don't arrive in God's place in God's time, then you are missing God's schedule. If you don't use your time wisely, you don't arrive in God's place in God's time to do God's work, then you miss God's schedule. Hallelujah. Now listen to me. I will come to the later part. I know, even as I'm speaking this, we all falter. 100%, maybe if not 100%, 99% of us, 99% of us have not redeemed our time. We have missed seasons. We have missed seasons. That is how we are. We have missed seasons. We were supposed to do something, but we were doing something else. And there are some people here who all their life did something else, and now they are slowly, slowly coming to the realization, oh, this is what God wanted and I did not do it. And you will say, brother, I have no, your life is not wasted, because there is a hope for even those who did not arrive in God's time at God's place. There is a hope through a scripture in the Bible. Okay, hallelujah. The hope is the restoration of time. You know, many of us use the scripture of Joel chapter number 2, and we say a restoration in finance, restoration in this, but understand what the scripture is saying. The Bible says there is the restoration of years, that the locusts, that the swarming locusts have eaten, that the consuming locusts have eaten, that the chewing locusts have eaten, and so on and forth, so on and so forth. The restoration of years. The restoration of time. There is hope. Don't sit here and listen to me and say, oh, Apostle Rahul, you know, you are speaking and I am wasted my year. Now what to, I don't think it will, it can come back, but it is, there is a procedure of bringing it back. That is the restoration, where you have let the evil, let the devil manipulate your time and place you somewhere which was not your place. Are we understanding until now? There is hope, but I will come to that hope. I will come to the solution at the last part of the sermon. But listen to me. First of all, understand how we miss God's time and God's purpose. Okay, if you don't use your time wisely, that means you don't redeem your time. You don't arrive in God's place in God's time to do God's work. Then you miss God's schedule. Okay, turn with me to Ecclesiastes. Chapter number 3. Turn your Bibles to Ecclesiastes. Chapter number 3. And let us read from verse number 1 onwards. To everything there is a season, a time for every purpose under heaven, a time to be born and a time to die, a time to plant and a time to pluck what is planted, a time to kill and a time to heal, a time to break down and a time to build up, a time to weep and a time to laugh, a time to moan and a time to dance, a time to cast away stones and a time to gather stones, a time to embrace and a time to refrain from embracing, a time to gain and a time to lose, a time to keep and a time to throw away, a time to gain and a time to lose and a time to keep and a time to throw away, a time to tear and a time to sue and a time to keep silence and a time to speak, a time to love and a time to hate, a time of war and a time of peace. There are God, if you understand God, if you understand this God operates in times and seasons. Okay? And you can fall out of alignment with God if you don't align with the specific place and the specific work that He assigns you for that specific time and season. That is what the meaning of redeeming your time is. See, that is what Ecclesiastes is saying. Okay, let me take you to the next verse. You will understand it clearly. Verse number 9, what profit has the worker from that in which he labors? I have seen, now this is the verse, I have seen the God-given task with which the sons of men are to be occupied. Underline that verse. What is the profit if a man labors? What is the profit if the man does not understand the God-given task? You are occupied. I understand you are occupied. But are you occupied with what God wants you to do for now? If you are not occupied with what God wants you to do and in the place where God wants you to be, you are not redeeming your time. The evil is manipulating your usage of time. That is the meaning of redeeming your time, because the days are evil. Hallelujah. Let me come again to what I said. I said that the devil is a master to manipulate your usage of time. That is how he will take you away from God. That is how he can bring lack in your life. He can bring sickness. He can bring attack. Because if you are in a place doing something where heaven's focus is not there, where heaven's limelight is not there, heaven's investment will not be there upon you. You got to be in a place where God wants you to be for this specific season or time, and to do what God wants you to do, so that you can be under heaven's limelight, under heaven's protection, and heaven can look at you, okay, this guy is doing a task that is assigned by the God of heaven. That is what Ecclesiastes chapter 3 verse 10 is saying. I have seen the God-given task with which the sons of men are occupied. They are operating and aligning themselves with the seasons of heaven, with the seasons that God is bringing in their life. Redeeming your time because the days are evil. Are we understanding now? Okay. Till now, we were thinking, oh, redeeming the time is as much as we can spending time with God. Yeah, you are spending time with God, but are you doing what God wants you to do? The assignment that God has given you. Hallelujah. Are we understanding now what is redeeming the time? Because the days are evil. God, do you believe that God gives tasks to you for a specific time and season with which you have to be occupied? Do you believe that? The Bible says that. Do you believe that?
Yes,
amen. Do you believe that you cannot do things by your own self? You have to align with what God wants you to do. I will come to that. I was asking God, and God allowed me to share, to explain redeeming the time by the testimony of my life. I have some years that I gave up to the locus. I gave to the locus. Some years. You know, I have arrived. Many people tell me, oh, Pastor Rahul, you know, you are a young man, but there is wisdom. I know that I am wisdom, but still, I know that I am a little bit late. I am a little bit late. I had to arrive here some years ago. But hallelujah. But you know what? You know what? I understood the hope that God gave me, that He could restore my time so God can push me. God can push me. I will come to that solution at the later part, because there is a hope. Don't say, even people who are 70 years old, 75 years old, don't say I am old. Moses was being used at that age. The locust ate up his years, Moses. He arrived very late. But there was a restoration that started to happen. At that age of 75, 80, he started to operate in power, in an anointing which young people operate. Yeah. Hallelujah. Redeem your time. Redeem your time. Understand. Do not be unwise, but be understand what the will of God is. That is, what is the meaning of Ephesians chapter number, what, 3, verse 15, verse, what, 16 and 17. Ephesians chapter number 5, sorry, verse 16 and 17. Redeeming the time because the days are evil. Let me come back to the explanation once again. Redeeming the time, the meaning of it is understanding what God wants you to do and where He wants you to be in a specific time and season. Because the days are evil, that means the evil can manipulate your usage of time. And then it says, do not be understand what, do not be unwise, but understand what is the will of God. So redeeming the time is related to understanding the will of God. That means to understand what God wants me to do now in this season and time, and where He wants me to be planted, which place He wants me to be. I should be occupied with the God-given task in my life. When we understand that, we are redeeming the time. Okay, are we understanding now? So let me take you to what I was saying before this, that if you don't use your time wisely, that means you don't arrive in God's place, in God's time, and then you miss God's schedule. I have many times spoken on God's time, God's schedule from this verse in Revelation chapter number 1. Let's go there. Revelation chapter number 1. And let's read verse number 9 and 10. Verse number 9 and 10. I, John, both your brother and companion in the tribulation and kingdom and patience of Jesus Christ, was on the island that is called Patmos for the word of God and for the testimony of Jesus Christ. Island of Patmos, history records that Apostle John was taken as a, what you call, was taken in exile at that island of Patmos, was taken in bondage to the island of Patmos. But he, see what he is saying. He is not saying, oh, brothers and companions in tribulation, you know, I am in the island of Patmos, you know, I don't want to be here. But he understood that that season of his life, God wanted him to be in the island of Patmos. He says, I am in the island of Patmos. Why? Because of the word of God. Because of the will of God. Hallelujah. You see that? And for the testimony of Jesus Christ. You, the people who know to redeem their time, you will find one quality in them, that they will never complain against God. They will not call you and say, oh, Sister K, you know what? I don't know why I am here. I don't know. I am asking God questions. Why I am here? Why I am like this? They will not call you, call Sister K and tell all those things. Hallelujah. They will not complain. They will understand that even though they are in exile in Patmos Island, you know, it's a difficult place, you know that. But they will say, oh, Sister K, you know, I am in difficulty, but I am here because of the word of God and because of the testimony of Jesus Christ. So I don't have problem. I don't have problem. They understand that they are in a place, even though it's difficult, it's a God-given task and God-given place. They are redeeming their time by being in that place, in Patmos. Are we understanding now? See, let's go ahead. Verse number 10. Verse number 10. I was in the Spirit on the Lord's day. Now he continues to say, I was in the Spirit on the Lord's day. I have explained this many times, but let me come again. The Lord's day, he understood there was a day on which the Lord wanted to meet him. He understood that. Where? In the island of Patmos. Oh, I have met numerous people and they say, you know, brother, you know, I cannot. Why do you say pray for half an hour, pray for 1 hour? I have work to do. I have to earn money. I have to take care of my family. You know, I cannot pray for 1 hour. Now, God wants me to earn money and God wants me to gather up money and this and that. I cannot pray for 1 hour now. So I said, when you will pray for 1 hour then? Never? No, I will pray. I am not saying I will not pray. I will pray. But after I get retired, when I get comfortable and when there is money accumulated all around me, there are piles of dollars all around my bedroom and I will sit in the pile of dollars and I will pray. When there is comfort and convenience and security, then I will serve God and labor in prayer. But Apostle John is saying, I am in exile, I am in Patmos, I am persecuted, but I will not miss the appointment of the Lord. I am in the Spirit on the Lord's day. Hallelujah. You are wasting your time when you think everything will become comfortable, you know. Once I had, you know, accumulating money is a foolishness in the kingdom of God. Do you know that? Do you remember the parable that Jesus said? I don't have time to take you to the scriptures, but that is the parable. Go and read your Bible. Jesus said there was a rich guy, and once his field produced a lot of crops. He got a lot of harvest, and he thought, let me store all the produce in the storehouse that I don't have to work anymore after this, and I will have all the produce in my storehouse to just sit and eat of it and relax and not work any longer. And then the Bible says in the parable, Jesus said, God came to him that night and told him, you fool, what if tomorrow your soul is taken away from you? What you will do with all the accumulated money? Do you understand that? Hallelujah. Pastors will not teach you that, because I know when I thought I will take mentorship from pastors and all those things. Those pastors told me, you got to earn money and save money. I knew that was not the God's assignment for me. That was not. They will tell you, you got to save and save and save. Some people get so mad at saving that even they stop giving to the kingdom of God. They stop buying gifts for their wife and children. They will tell, the wife will come and tell, oh, honey, you know what? I am wearing this dress from 2 years. Can't you buy a new dress? He will say, you know, stop asking and demanding from me. We are saving. Why don't you understand that? Use it for another 1 year. The color is still there. It has not faded away. Hallelujah. Why? They are saving. They are not. That is what the Bible says. You know what 1 Timothy chapter 6 says? Godliness with contentment is a great gain. You know what the context of contentment is? The context of contentment is enough, enough, enough. How much you will accumulate? That is, be content. How much will you accumulate? Oh God, I will come to that. That is one of the devices of Satan, where he will manipulate your time. Where he will manipulate your usage of time by making you labor for mammon. And you completely are, you are coming to church on sometimes on Sunday. You are coming to church. But you are completely, you are not at all aligned with the God-given task, because you are running after mammon. A person is just wanting to accumulate. Many, many people I have met have missed God's time and God's purpose because the devil tricked them into a tradition of accumulating mammon. Stay with me. Are we understanding? The Bible says, redeem your time because the days are evil. Do not be unwise, but understand what is the will of God is. Hallelujah. Are we understanding now? So Apostle John is saying, up here, I am in the island of Patmos. He is not saying, oh, when I get to a comfortable place and God gives me peace all around, then I will meet the Lord, then I will wait on the Lord. He is saying, no, right now, in this place of persecution, in this place of turmoil, in this place of exile, I was in the Spirit. And I realized there is an appointment with the Lord. Hallelujah. In the deepest valley, in the darkest time of your life, or in the lowest position of your life, God will come and tell you, I have an appointment with you. I want to make an appointment with you. Are you ready to wait on me? Will you say that time, no, 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 Lord, you know what? I am facing a financial crunch. Let things become better after 3-4 years. Let me earn some money. And then you are not redeeming the time. Apostle John is saying, I was in the Spirit on the Lord's day. Come what may, whatever condition I am in. I will redeem my time by working on the God-given assignment. Do you understand how much time does it takes to write Revelations? Do you understand that? How much time does it take? Not 1 hour. 1 hour is far away. Not 2 hours. Not even 2 days. It takes a whole season, a whole lifetime of a man for God to give him revelation. It took 10 years of the cross bearing in my life, of my youth. 10 years. And there God was able to produce the teachings out of me. Hallelujah. Because when a man understands to redeem time, God will make his life a testament, that through that testament of his life, God can teach his statutes, his commandments, the spirit and life, his word to the nations of the earth. To the nations of the earth. Hallelujah. Yes. Are we understanding, people of God? Once he grabbed hold of that appointment day and he was in the spirit, you know what started to happen? Oh God, the trumpet sound came. And in the trumpet sound, I was talking about tongues last week, and I told you the trumpet sound is the tongue. In the trumpet sound, the voice of Jesus, I am the Alpha Omega, the beginning end, the first last. Hallelujah. In the original script, there is no and. That is Alpha Omega, beginning, like that. That's why I'm saying like that. So he got the revelation of Jesus, and it's not specified how many days he was there getting those revelation, because he wrote 22 chapters. Am I right? Is that 22 chapters here in Revelation? Yes, 22 chapters in the book of Revelation John had to write. I don't know how many months or years he was there to write those 22 chapters. He was in the spirit. He was in the spirit. Hallelujah. Redeem your time. So I just came to that scripture because I wrote down some things through that scripture and example of John. If you understand God's will, you will not complain and crib about your situations. If you understand God's will and redeem your time, you will not say, oh, I am in the island of Patmos. I don't know what Jesus is doing with me. I don't know what about this ministry. No, I was in the island of Patmos because of the word of God and the testimony of Christ. I know there is a purpose. That's why I am here. There are scarcely any people who would call and tell me, you know, Brother Raul, I did not tell anyone. I was going through this, but I am just silent. I am just peaceful because I know it is God's place that I have to be in the Isle of Patmos. And you know what, Brother Raul? Even as I am here, God is encountering me in a new way. Though I am in trouble, but God is speaking to me. That person understands how to redeem his time. He is not complaining and cribbing about his situation. Many times God will place you in the island of Patmos. But if you are disconnected from heaven, you will say, God, take me out of it. God, take me out of it. God says, no, my son, no, my daughter, you know what? Be silent, be peaceful, understand, just be still to hear my voice. But you are just bombarded with problems and opinions of men. No, take me out. God will wait and place you there and teach you. No, you have to be here. No, you take me out. At last, God takes you out. But that taking out is not a blessing for you. It's a delay for you because you only prayed for yourself to come out of God's place and God's time. Hallelujah. Are we understanding? Redeem your time. Understand what the will of God is. Hallelujah. Most people don't know God's time and will complain about why I am here, why I am facing this, why I am treated like this, etc., etc., etc. Do you remember the woman, the widow of Zarephath? Hallelujah. You know what, Eli, I don't have time, but you go and refer to 1 Kings chapter number 17. You know what God told to Elijah? God told Elijah, see, Elijah survived because he was in God's time and God's season. Elijah redeemed his time. There is one place where he missed to redeem his time. That is when he was on his way back from the mountain of Carmel. Remember, Jezebel attacked him. There was an error that he made. I will come to that. I will explain you that. How he missed God's time. If we miss God's time, we are not redeeming the times. But Elijah aligned himself with the times and season and did exactly what God wanted him to do and was staying in God's place. There was a season where he had to go in the king's palace and prophesy. He went and he prophesied, "There will be no rain except by my word in all Israel." But after that, God told him, now your time is up here of your prophecy. What you need to go is go by the brook of Cherith and stay there. The ravens will come and feed you and you will drink water from the brook of Cherith. But you know what? The brook of Cherith dried up and God told him, now your season is ended. This is not the place you got to stay. What you need to do, go to Zarephath. Do you see the assignment of the Lord for Elijah in different seasons? He went to Zarephath and God told Elijah, you know what? In Zarephath, I have commanded a widow there to feed you, to provide for you. So the widow was commanded by the Lord. God had told the widow. But when Elijah landed up there in Zarephath, in the widow's place, the widow was gathering stick to eat and die. She was not redeeming her time, not doing something else when God told her to provide for the servant of God. Do you see that? Hallelujah. And listen to me. When she was doing those things which were not from God, evil was manipulating her usage of time. God wanted her to cook food and give it to Elijah. Here she is cooking food to eat it herself and die. When you don't understand to redeem time, depression will attack you, death will attack you. Do you understand? Because you are not under heaven's limelight, because you are not under God's place and God's time. That is what happened with the widow of Zarephath. And what Elijah said to the widow of Zarephath was not a prophecy, was not the gift of prophecy. It was just a direction or just an exhortation. He said, you know, do what you are doing, you can eat, but first do what God has told you to do. Make the morsel of bread and bring it to me so that I can eat of it. And when you do, when you redeem your time, that means when you do what God has called you to do, the oil in your jar will never dry up and the flour in your bin will never be used up until God sends rain in Israel. Do you see? When you redeem your time, you will not lack the providence of God. There will be abundance for your needs and for whatever you need in your house. More than that, you will have. Why? Because you redeem your time. People, do you know, people don't understand one scripture. Christians don't understand one scripture where it says, man shall not live by what? Bread alone, but by every word. Hallelujah. But you know what we think? We will live by doing overtime in our office. My children shall have a great future when I work overtime in the office. That is the evil manipulating your time. God has not made your life so difficult to make you in bondage, in labor, that you work 13, 14 hours a day. I was in the office, you know. And there people used to work 48 hours continuously. I used to see 14 hours they used to work, get up, go in the toilet, brush their teeth, wash their face, again come, sit and work. You know why? Because the company paid a lot of money if you did overtime. Hallelujah. But I am telling you, I was there in that organization for 5.5 years. And I never exceeded my shift. Never. Hallelujah. Never exceeded. My shift was of 9 hours, 8 hours working, 1 hour break. And I used to go 2 in the afternoon. Before it was 11 o'clock. That is the end of my shift. 10:55, I will log out and wait to go back to my house to pray. Because I did not want it to overwork. Hallelujah. Oh, I think there is a new feature on the Zoom. When I do like this, there is a thumb that is coming on the Zoom. Hallelujah. Amen. Redeem your time. You got to go back and do this assignment. Read Matthew's chapter number 4, verse 4. Matthew chapter number 4, verse 4. Jesus said to Satan, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word. Hallelujah. You don't have to overwork. If you just do, you know, I did not save anything. I did not think about my future, but I understood what the will of God is for me to do. The will of God for me, it was to for me that time was to pray, even though I was working. So I was praying. When I came back 12 o'clock in the night, I would spend time in prayer. Till 2 o'clock, 3 o'clock, I will spend time in prayer. I did not have a ministry, but I will spend time in prayer. I was not leading. I was not preaching. I was not doing any ministry. I was just serving in the church, lifting up chairs, putting wires, but I will spend time in prayer. That season, I will do what God was telling me to do. And you see what? I did not save. I did not overwork, but still I am alive. Still, you can see me in good health. Still, my needs have been provided. Why? Because I shall not live by bread alone, but by every word. Understand the time of the Lord and do what God has assigned you to do. Do we understand that now? Hallelujah. Amen. So, okay. Listen to me. Okay. So, hallelujah. Oh my God. So, you know what? You know, you need to know when your time is up in a certain place. You need to know when your season changes in a certain place. Now, for that, I think I took a sermon. You can refer back to that sermon, that signs when your season changes. Okay. So that I will not ponder on that. But there was a time where people were jealous in my office of my good work. Because 9 months I got promoted in one of the office. And then some of them were jealous of my good work. So you know what they did in the office? They casted chits. And they wanted to shift someone to another process. So they casted chits. And they asked to take a chit. And in that chit, my name was there. So they took me out of the process and placed me in another process. Hallelujah. So, okay. I did not complain. I said, whatever is happening, Lord, I give into your hands. I went into that process. When I went into that process, even that process was blessed. And the next manager, the new manager, she did not want it. But God told me, now it's time for you to leave this place. It's time. And I put my resignation without finding a job. When God told me that, I put my resignation in that office without finding a job. And there was a 30 days notice period. And at the 10 day, I got a job. And the job I got was 300% hike of my current salary. What God wanted to show me that how financially he could bless me. How financially he could. So 300% hike. And at that time, these people were saying, you are a very good quality analyst. We don't want to lose you. Please take back your resignation. And they were pampering me. They were telling me, trying to convince me. But you know, I did not stay there. I did what God asked me to do. Now listen to me. While it was 5 days remaining in my current office, and there were two opinions. They were asking me, they love me, and I'm going to a new place. God sent a Christian man. The devil sent a Christian man to me. The devil sent a so-called believer to me. So I don't know how I happened to talk. That person is like not at all established in his life. He used to work in an organization. He was way older than me, like 40, 45 years. But he was like my friend. So I happened to talk with him at that course of time. And it was the devil who sent the evil that wanted to manipulate my usage of time. So he called me, or I called him, I don't remember. But we came in contact on the phone call. And this man was not stable in his job. He went also to England. He did not survive there. He came back. Now he came back. Then he got up a very small job. So he was not at all stable in his job and in his career. So I happened to talk with him, and when I talked with him, you know, I told him, oh, you know what? I am going to shift to a new job. I got a new job and I got a 300% hike. This man told me, what's the company name? I said, this ABC is the company name. And he told me, oh, I gave the interview there. Don't go there. It's my advice to you. When you go there, they will make you work for 13, 14 hours. They will ask you to come on Saturday, Sunday. They will do this to you. They will do that to you. Oh, I went there and they are such rude people. The managers are very rude. They will talk to you like this, talk to you. And he completely brainwashed me that you just don't go there. That's my advice. And it's up to you what you want to do. And then that man told me all those things. I started to ponder. And then I went into a night prayer and there was my pastor. Okay, I was praying and the Lord allowed the pastor to give me his word. So then I discussed with my pastor, you know, pastor, what I'm getting this job and this, I spoke to this guy who is from our church and even the pastor knows him and he said this, should I join this job or should I refrain? Is it the devil's? And the pastor told me the word of God, the voice of God. And he told me, you know what, Rahul, even Joseph was placed in difficult places. If you are chosen by God, you will be put in difficult places, but God will be with you. Why don't you go? Because God wants to bless you with finance. And you are, who gets a 300% hike? Can you think about that? You go and take up that job and God will be with you. When he told me that, I knew that was straight from God and the devil was trying to manipulate me. And I took up that job. And in that job, people used to work for 48 hours, brush their teeth in the office, take a bath in the office, sleep in the office. But my boss and whoever I was, they never forced me to work because they knew I was a Christian. Hallelujah. And I had other responsibility. I told them straight away, I have prayer, I have this meeting, I have this church, I have this, I have that. So I cannot overwork. I cannot come on Saturday, Sunday. So, and then in 9 months, that 300% hike I got, they promoted me and they increased my salary. And my salary, I got around 1,000% hike. Not double of my salary, 10 times of my salary. Man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds from the mouth of God. I am telling you. Hallelujah. So, why I am sharing that testimony with you is because the devil can send manipulators in your life to give you wrong advices so that they can manipulate your usage of time. Do you see that? They can manipulate your usage of time. I have some things to say, but I just want to jump on. My God. Six ways. That the devil can manipulate your usage of time. Write it down. 6 ways that the devil can what? Manipulate your usage of time and trick you into doing something and to place you somewhere where God does not want you to be. The first point is my favorite. The first point, how the devil can manipulate your usage of time is by making you fall in love with the wrong one at the wrong time. The first point. Hallelujah. Listen to me, unmarried people, bachelors, spinsters. By making you fall in love with the wrong person at the wrong time. Now, I know traditional Indians and Pakistanis sitting here. As per you, the traditional way is to get married at 26 or 27. But that is not the way of God. As per God, a person can even get married at 37 or 38. God's time can be 37 for that person. I know a lady I was used to pray for. She was a God-fearing lady. She used to come in my church. And she is even a part of our ministry. She lives overseas, not in India. And she got the right person at the right time. You know when? I think at the age of 38, 39. And I see her family, that God-fearing husband. And she has a son now, well settled in the Lord, established in the Lord. Because she did not fall in love with the wrong person at the wrong time. What a blessed family they are in the Lord. Hallelujah. Amen. I hear that testimonies. She is a woman of faith. And I also am in contact with the husband. He is a faithful man. They also have a son. And they are just secured under the wings of God. No lack. Providence is there. Peace is there. Why? Because that lady waited for the Lord. She got married at 38. Many of you, oh, many of the church members start to make you insecure when you don't get married at 30. Oh, I think God is not with her. That's why she is not getting married. Oh, I think there is a curse upon her. That's why she is not getting married. Oh, I think that her character is bad. I think that that is the problem. This is the problem. Throw their opinions to the garbage bin. Throw it to the trash. Wait for God. Wait for God. Wait for the right person. Otherwise, the evil can manipulate. You get pressurized. Oh, that church member, that pastor, this one, my mother is saying. And then you land up into marrying someone that was not God's. And that person is the person sent by the devil in your life to waste your life, to waste the time. Because you did not align in the right time with the right person. You did not redeem your time. Hallelujah. Are we understanding, people of God? The pattern that I was introduced when I was 21 years old, and the pastors were thinking to make me a leader because I was a potential candidate to lead the church. They told me to get married at around 26. They told me to save money. But when I tapped into God's purposes and God's will, it was not God's will for me to marry. Hallelujah. It was not God's will for me to marry. At that time, and I followed the path of God. I redeemed my time by marrying Jesus Christ and building intimacy with him in my young time, in my younger age. Hallelujah. Amen. Avian, redeem your time. The first way the devil can manipulate your time, your usage of time, is by sending the wrong person or making you fall in love with the wrong person at the wrong time. Are we understanding that? Hallelujah. Listen to me. There are three ways to choose a life partner. Now this is what the Holy Spirit told me. I am teaching you. So since I came to the topic, those who are looking for a life partner, there are three steps to look for the life partner. There are three tests and levels that you need to check. The person, if you think that is the prospect person. The first test is the scripture test. The second test is the wisdom and compatibility test. And the third is the confirmation from God. Listen to me now. What is the first one? The scripture test. The second, wisdom and compatibility test. The third is the confirmation from God. The scripture test is so simple. Don't come to me, apostle, pray for me. I want to marry a person, but that person is an unbeliever, does not fear God. I cannot pray. It's not straight away by the God. It's straight away, it's not God's will. What to pray for that? You want to seek God's will, but the scripture fails your choice. The scripture fails your choice. Don't come to me to ask God's will. Don't waste my time. It's not God's will. Because do not be unequally yoked with an unbeliever, or even though he or she is a believer. You say, oh, that person does not even fear God, does not read the Bible. He is not from God, or she is not from God. It fails the scripture test. What does the Bible say? Blessed is the man who walks not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor stands in the paths of the sinner, nor sits in the seats of the scornful. Even believers are not believers. So if they fail the scripture test, straight away, the person does not align with the scripture, not the will of God. Don't waste your time praying. Oh no, I am fasting. Why you are fasting, sister? Why you are fasting, brother? Oh no, I am fasting 3 days to know whether that person is from God. You don't have to pass. You don't have to fast. I will tell you, it's not God's will. Don't waste your time. That fasting, heaven's eyes are not on that fasting, because heaven has already revealed the scripture telling you he or she is not from God. The first test is the scripture test. Do we understand that? If that person fails the scripture test, don't go ahead, not the will of God. But if the person passes the scripture test, he or she is a God-fearing woman and believer, and historically you have investigated with the church, okay, that person is in the Lord, the person is faithful in the work of the Lord, faithful in her life or in his life, that person passed the first test. You can go ahead with the second test. The second test is the wisdom test. What is the wisdom test? You need to use God's wisdom. You know, let me tell you, any boy or any girl, any man or any woman coming to you and meeting you on the first day, and on the second day says, I love you, I want to marry you, don't marry that person. Because that person is not wise enough to observe you for some days and see what has been told about you and what has been told about your faith, is it true? And that will only happen by being a friend with that person for some days and observing that person. And if the person is hasty, the first day you had a date, coffee date, and the second day, I love you, I want to marry you, here is the ring, and brings a ring of $1,000 to you. So don't say no, say no, 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 no. You are too hasty. You are too, that person is not matured. A spiritually matured person will not straight away say, I love you. A spiritually matured person will stay with you and observe you, observe your character. And when that person, he or she sees that, okay, this person is compatible, this person, it is verified. I see Christ in this person. I see that whatever was told about her or told about him has been verified by the character. I really know it's not a fake thing. That is the wisdom and compatibility test. You see that? If that person passes the second test, then the third test is coming to the Lord. Lord, this person aligns with the scripture. This person also aligns with the wisdom that you gave me to evaluate him or her. Now, as per the first and the second test, this person has passed. I want a Rhema word. I want a confirmation in my spirit that this person is from you. When the Lord, after these two tests, tells you and gives you the word, go ahead with that person and marry that person. Hallelujah. Do we see that? Amen. But most of us got married with the wrong person at the wrong time. And then that was a tool of the enemy to manipulate our usage of time. Are we together, people of God? Amen. Listen to me. The second one. Okay, let's come to the second one. Let's come to the second one. The second one is, the devil can manipulate your usage of time by giving you a job that is not God's will. By giving you a job that is not God's will. That is where I am coming. It can be, oh, you know, they pay what you call $100 per hour for overtime. If you're 9 hour shift and you work for 1 hour more, $100 they will pay you for overtime. And if you do 5 hours, $500 a day plus your salary. Oh, it looks like a tempting offer. But if it's not God's will, the devil is manipulating your usage of time. Listen to me. You don't even have to ask God's will. I have been in the corporate from the age of 19 for 7 to 8 continuous years. I have worked in different companies. So I know what I'm speaking. I know what I'm speaking. Any job, listen to me, any job that does not allow you to be a part of the corporate gathering of the body of Christ is not God's will. Hallelujah. I have done Saturday, Sunday off jobs. I have done rotational shifts. But I would write in the interview, tell them that I want to be flexible. I want you to be flexible with my rotational offs, week offs. Because I got a church, so I cannot miss the church. I cannot miss the prayer meeting. I cannot miss the Bible study. So those days, you got to be flexible with me. But I will come for the shift after I am completed. If there is a prayer meeting 8 in the evening on Wednesday, I will tell them, 8 to 10, I will take a shift of night 11 and work until 8 morning. I will go to the prayer meeting, attend the prayer meeting, and then come to work. Don't force me to miss my prayer meetings. A company that forces you, no. Oh, miss this. You have to come at that time, and that time of your job coincides with your prayer meeting. It's not from God. The devil is taking you out by that job. Not God's will. Are we understanding, people of God? Hallelujah. If you know by the Holy Spirit, God planted you in this ministry, anything that coincides with the time that you have to spend here in the corporate gathering of Christ is that that job, that work is not from God. It is taking you out of God's time. The evil is manipulating your time. Are we understanding? People fall into this trap because they don't understand Matthew's chapter number 4, verse 4. That it's not that job that will provide for you, but it's God's word that will keep you and your children and your family. Hallelujah. I know 8 years that I worked. I would go to work at 12 in the night. I will go to work, but I will not miss a prayer meeting. If even I used to be part of revival meetings till 11, and after that I will go to work. If I am late, I will call my boss. Boss, I am late. I am coming in 1 hour. So the boss and the supervisors got accustomed with me. They knew I was a ministry man. They knew I was a ministry man. So they got accustomed with me. Hallelujah. Amen. They used to treat other employees in a different way, but me, they used to treat in a special way, you know, because I was in God's place and God's time. You will get God's favor there. You will get God, you will get the favor of people. You will get the recognition. You will get the money. What does the Bible say? Remember Matthew's, what is that? Matthew's chapter number 6, verse 33. Seek ye first what? The money? Seek ye first the high paying job? No, seek ye first the kingdom and his righteousness. Kingdom of God and his righteousness. Hallelujah. You don't have to think about your bills. You don't have to think about accumulating. Don't think about accumulating money. Don't think about saving money for next 10 years. Don't think about that. It's not God. This God is a God who will make you depend on him for every day. That is how this God works. Remember the manna in the desert? God told him, don't accumulate manna for the next day. It will get spoiled. But they accumulated. Greedy people accumulated manna. Oh God. And it got spoiled. Because God wants you to depend. The needs, the finances, the day's needs will come for that day, I'm telling you. That's why Jesus says, don't worry about tomorrow. When you look at a job, when you are working in the office, don't work there to accumulate money for retirement. Don't work there to accumulate. No, that should not be your intention. Your intention should be the kingdom first. Your intention should be God first. You see how rich you will be till the time you are on this earth. Hallelujah. Amen. If you believe that, say amen, people of God. Hallelujah. The second way the devil can manipulate your usage of time is to give you a job that is not from God. That is the second way. Hallelujah. The third way. Listen to me now. It's getting deeper. The third way. The devil can manipulate your usage of time by sending you a so-called Christian prayer partner in disguise. Write it. The devil can manipulate your time. The third thing, by sending you a so-called Christian prayer partner in disguise. For example, Apostle Rahul, please pray for me. Apostle Rahul, please pray for me. Please pray for my pain. Please pray for my finances. From 10 years, I am suffering. Please pray for this person. I am thinking of getting in contact with this person or getting married with this person. Please pray for this person. Or I am thinking of getting in business with this person. And you know, she's continued to tell me and bombard me with prayer points. And Apostle Rahul, please pray for with me every day, 2 hours, you know, 2 hours. I need to come out of it. He has been sent by the devil to sit on my shoulders and to eat my mind. She only wants me to pray, but there is no faith and obedience he or she is applying in their own life. I don't even pray and invest my time with people who don't want to be in the meeting. Some people, I don't have any time to sit in the meeting, but I want you to call me and pray for me every day, 3 hours. I'm sorry, I cannot pray with you. The real ministry that I do is on this platform. That is where I minister. And if I'm praying for you and you are not listening to my teachings, my ministry, my anointing will not work for you in the fullest measure. to deliver you out. Because it's not only prayer, prayer, prayer. You have to sit and listen to the word of God. Hallelujah. Yes. Some people are sent to manipulate your usage of time, and you will find from morning until afternoon, you prayed for that person and now you don't even have energy left to open your Bible and read. Every day you are praying for that person on phone. And the person is giving you sweets. Oh, there is no one like you, Sister K. You care for me so much. One day, 2 days, you miss and say, I am busy. Then she will take away the sweets and give you poison. Oh, why didn't you call me? Huh? Why didn't you call me? I was in pain. Why didn't you pick up my call? Why didn't you reply me? They are sent by the devil to manipulate. You will find yourself praying for them. After you pray for them, you cannot open the Bible. You cannot do any spiritual activities. You are just concentrating on one person. I had this woman who used to, she was a good lady, but so many times I told her, she wanted to save her brother, blood brother. The brother was not accepting Jesus, and she was, Apostle Rahul, please pray for him, I'm praying for him. And whole day she used to think about the brother, when he will get saved. I want to save him. I want to bring him. You cannot bring anyone to Christ. It's the job of Jesus. You don't become Jesus. You just do the work of Jesus and let the Holy Spirit do the rest of bringing that person to Christ. And this lady was like, I want to bring my brother. I want to save my brother. And always I used to tell, sister, you have a great purpose. Why don't you shift your focus on the assignment of God and release your brother in God's hand? Why don't you do that? And she would say, no, brother, you also pray. You have anointing. You have this. No, I said, I will not invest my time on one person. There are nations waiting for me. I will do my job. It's not, I'm not saying I will not help that person, but I will help that person in the limits of God. Hallelujah. God can send so-called Christian prayer partners to tell you, Sister K, you know, the whole day we need to pray for my relative, for my son, for my brother. You say, I will pray and release in God's hand. I will not get hyper about the situation they are facing. They are so-called Christians to eat up your time, sent by the devil. Are we understanding, people of God? That is the third way. That is the third way the devil can manipulate your usage of time. Hallelujah. The fourth way, listen to me. The fourth way the devil can manipulate your usage of time is by keeping you stuck with the wrong church by mind control or by other means. Keeping you stuck with the wrong church, with the wrong fellowship. Hallelujah. I have counseled so many people and I have told them, brother, you know, I respect your church. I respect where you go. But the Lord shows me there is no purpose of yours in that church. You are wasting heaven's time. You are wasting heaven's time. Whenever, you know, our sister told the testimony that when the lady was praying in tongues, the church was shutting her up. Now, brother, you are going in the church. You have this gift of tongues. You can see in the spirit. You can intercede for nations. But when you do that in your church, they are shutting you up. They are shutting you up. Why you are there investing your time there? Get hold of a group. Get hold of a fellowship. If you are a lion, walk with the lion. Don't walk with cats. Don't walk with dogs. Walk with the lion, where your anointing will find expression to function and where you will receive teachings so that you can grow in your anointing. No, brother, you know what? We get coffee in the morning in that church. The other church that prays in tongues, they ask us to fast. But there we get coffee. There we have children's. There we have Sunday school, brother. There we have six people playing guitar. There we have air condition. There the pastor, you know, excites everyone, brother. Hallelujah. The devil is so successful to manipulate you. The devil is so successful. Your season has, some people's seasons have ended 5 years ago in that church, but they are still sitting in that church. Still they are sitting in the church. You are in Egypt and you like the onions and the garlics and the meat of Egypt. That's why you are sitting there. Oh God, I know people will not like before saying that, but let me preach. Let me teach that. Hallelujah. Amen. You are sitting in the church because you have this facility, that facility. Oh, you know what, brother? Let me stay in the church. I know it's God. It is not God's will for me to be there. I'm just stagnant. I'm just dry in that church. I have gifts. I know what you are saying is true. But let me wait for another 2 years because I want to get the certificate church approval for my daughter's admission. I want to admit my daughter to a college. And for that, I need the reference certificate that I am a member of this church. Oh God. Traditions of men you are stuck into. You don't have faith in God because you depend on certificates, you depend on references, you depend on this and that. Oh God, hallelujah. May God help you and tell you, and God, even God wants to help you, but you are the one sitting there in the church, wasting your time, wasting your destiny that God asked for you. Oh God, hallelujah. Church. Wrong fellowship, listen to me, is the fourth way. The devil, that church you are in, fourth way the devil will manipulate. You go to the church, you speak in tongues. When you give the word, the pastor, come here, brother, come here, sister. Why did you speak like that? I told you last time, don't see. You have to tell what I tell you to do. You know the church is Egypt, but you are sitting there wasting your time. You know that your Holy Spirit that is flowing through you is resisted in that church. But still you are there wasting your time. Oh God, why don't you come out of there? 5 years, 10 years, some people 15 years in the church. The church has wasted that time. They allowed the devil to manipulate their usage of time. Till now, you should be in the nations. You should have been an evangelist on the crusade grounds. But here you are warming the chairs in the church. Here you are sitting there. And the pastor is telling, no. Till I tell you, don't do this, don't do that. And you like to be controlled. Oh God, hallelujah. Amen. As a leader in the ministry, I don't function like that. I encourage people, even if people want to do something, I encourage anyone who calls me from here, ask them. I will pray for you. Do what God has called you to do. I will encourage them because that is the job of an apostle, to ordain people and send them. Hallelujah. And if anyone comes out of here and preaches more deeper revelations than me, I will be successful. My ministry will be successful. Hallelujah. Amen. Are we understanding? But don't be in the church, in the covering that is Egypt. You know that is Egypt, but still you are sitting there. Oh God, I don't know how much my heart is stressing on that much, because I know so many people don't listen. Don't listen to God. Amen. Hallelujah. Shall we go ahead? Okay. If you are with me, say amen until now. Amen. Hallelujah.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. Hallelujah. Point number five, the fifth way the devil can manipulate your time, your usage of time, is by a controlling and dominant family member. By a controlling and dominant family member. Hallelujah. I know a person, he was supposed to be now a prophet, an apostle, building churches. But now he's around 50. He has done nothing for the Lord. You know why? Because the wife continues to dominate him, and he just can't disobey the wife. Hallelujah. The fifth way, it's a very difficult situation to get out of it. By a controlling and dominant family member, the devil can manipulate you and keep you somewhere where you are not supposed to be. Genesis chapter number 11. Verse number 28. Hallelujah. Please stay attentive to this teaching. I have one more point and then we want to go in the prophecy. So please stay attentive for a few more minutes, because this is very important. Genesis chapter number 11. I don't want to read everything, but let me read from verse 29. Genesis 11:29. Then Abraham and Nahor took wives. The name of Abraham's wife was Sarai, and the name of Nahor's wife Milcah, the daughter of Haran, the father of Milcah and the father of Iscah. But Sarai was barren, she had no child. And Terah took his son, underline that Terah took his son Abraham and grandson Lot, the son of Haran, and his daughter-in-law Sarai, his son's Abraham's wife. And they went out with them from Ur of the Chaldeans to go to the land of Canaan. They came to Haran and dwelt there. So the days of Terah were 205 years, and Terah died in Haran. Genesis 12 verse 1. Now the Lord had said to Abraham. The scripture tells us the Lord had said to Abraham. Many of us believe that God spoke to Abraham at 75. No, he did not. He spoke to Abraham at a very young age. But what happened is, Terah, the father of Abraham, started to dominate the journey that Abraham had to lead. And you see the scripture just before that, the journey was initiated not by Abraham to Canaan. They left Chaldeans. It was initiated by the father Terah, because Terah was like, Abraham, you are a small guy. You don't know to listen to the voice of the spirits and gods. I will initiate the journey. So he was dominating. After Terah died, Haran. Haran is, by the way, the land of delay. The land of delay. They were stuck there in delay till the time there was evil manipulating the time of Abraham. Manipulating the time. But tonight, that Terah should die in Haran in Jesus' name. That you will be released to serve the purposes of God and redeem the time, because the days are evil. Hallelujah. So that is an example I'm using from the scripture, where a family member was dominating Abraham, manipulating his time and keeping him stuck in Haran in the land of delay. But when Terah died in Haran, Abraham came to the senses. The Lord had spoken to Abraham, I will make of you a great nation. And he started the journey. I have taken this sermon many times, so I will not go into detail. But what did I say? The fifth way the devil can manipulate your usage of time is through any family member or whatever who is controlling and dominating you and not allowing you to serve the purpose of God in God's time. Hallelujah. But we pray, let that bondage of Terah be broken upon the lives of people tonight. Any ancestral spirit or any family relative controlling and making you stuck in Haran, be broken, that hold be broken in the name of Jesus. Let's go to the sixth way. The sixth way. Through which the devil can manipulate your usage of time. The sixth way, you know, can you guess what is the sixth way? The sixth way is you yourself. Yourself or myself. That is the sixth way. Hallelujah. How? When we have a strong self, very strong selfish desire, through that the devil makes us to compete and compare ourselves with others. So I look at people, I get jealous. Oh, he got a big ministry. Oh, he got a crusade. He got invites. And then I want to be like them. I am comparing myself to them. I have this selfishness in me. I have this jealousy in me. And I'm comparing. And in doing that, I miss God's time for me, God's purpose, God's unique ministry for me, and try to compete with others and become like them and do what they are doing. That is the sixth way the devil can manipulate your usage of time. Are we together until now? These are the six ways the Holy Spirit pointed me out to, asked me to write down. But the Bible says, redeem your time because the days are evil. Why? Evil can manipulate your usage of time. Do not be unwise, but be wise. But be wise by knowing, understanding the will of God. Are we understanding? Now, I want to take you to Joel chapter number 2. For those people, I want to pray and release a prophetic utterance from the Lord at this end of the sermon. I want to pray for those people who know, even I, hallelujah, wasted not so many years, but some years, some time. And I'm telling you, God is a God who restores time. God is the restorer of yours. Hallelujah. That is a supernatural ability, a supernatural power. I don't know what to call it, a miracle that when you wasted 10 years and you did not accomplish that, but something that you do and you start now to do that assignment, what you were not able to accomplish in 10 years will start to speed up. The mighty hand of the Lord will come upon you and you will overrun and overtake the chariots of Ahab. Their speed will come in your life. And that is what is the mystery on the of the book of Joel. See, I don't have time, but I want to. I gave you how one assignment of meditating on Matthew 4:4. The second assignment is read the book of Joel. Read the book of Prophet Joel, okay? Because I don't have time to go into the whole book, because the whole book of Joel has to be read. But you can read it afterwards and meditate on it. Hallelujah. So let us turn to the book of the prophet Joel. Hallelujah. Now, Joel chapter number 2, verse number 25. So I will restore you the years that the swarming locust has eaten. What restored to you? Not the crops, not the produce, the years, the time. He can restore it back. Hallelujah. That the swarming locust has eaten, the crawling locust, the consuming locust, and the chewing locust. I want to speak on the different kind of locust, but I don't want to speak tonight. Let me end with the prophetic word itself, okay? My great army which I sent among you, you shall eat in plenty, so on and so forth. But you got to understand when he will restore and to whom he is speaking. He is speaking to disobedient Israel who allowed the devil to manipulate their usage of time by their disobedience to God. Where God wanted them to serve him in the temple, they were serving idols. They were eating at the altars of other idols. They were worshipping at high places. They were believing in foreign countries. They were following the traditions of foreign nations. They were wasting their time, but by not doing the will of God in God's time, in God's place. So God says, when you are out of my will, locusts will come and destroy your produce. Many people experience, they say, Apostle Raul, I'm working, I'm laboring, but there is no produce because the locusts are eating those produce up. Why they are eating you, eating that produce up? Because you are not in God's assignment and God's time. If you are in God's assignment and in God's place at God's specific time, God will cover you. And there in the labor of your hands, there will be multiplication. There will be plenty. But since you have wasted your years, God is telling you, I will restore to you the years. How? But how? That is where you have to read the book of Joel. Let me highlight some scriptures. Joel 1. Verse number 8, lament like a virgin girded with sackcloth for the husband of her youth. Verse number 13, the same chapter, gird yourself and lament, you priests. Wail, you who minister before the altar. Come, lie all night in sackcloth, you who minister to my God. For the grain offering and the drink offering are withheld from the house of your God. Then Joel chapter number 2. Let's go to Joel chapter number 2, verse number 12. Now therefore says the Lord, turn to me with all your heart, with fasting and weeping and with mourning. So render your heart and not your garment. Return to the Lord your God, for he is gracious and merciful. Hallelujah. Verse number 15, same chapter. Blow the trumpet in Zion, consecrate a fast, call a sacred assembly. The book of Joel is all preaching Joel, exhorting people to come with repentance, to come consecrating themselves, to come with fasting, to come in sackcloth. Oh God, when you come back to the Lord, humble yourself and Lord, tell God, I am here in sackcloth, I am here in fasting, not fasting to get something, fasting to repent of my ways, to repent of my wasted years. When you do that, you consecrate yourself, you consecrate a fast to the Lord, you prostrate yourself to the Lord, you humble yourself to the Lord, you weep, you wail before the Lord, you repent before the Lord, that will activate the hand of restoration in your life, and then you will see God placing you and giving you your rightful position in his assignment, in his work. And when you start to work for him in as per his will, you will see the years getting restored. Hallelujah. Let us pray. Do you see that? Do we understand the book of Joel? Restoration will come when you humble yourself before the Lord. Repent before the Lord genuinely. Oh God, hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. And this is what the Lord wants to release. So I will restore to you the years that the locusts have eaten. The Lord wants to tell you, I will restore to you. I will restore to you. I will restore to you. Any of the six ways, through any of the ways the devil ate up your years, the Lord says, I will restore to you. I will restore to you, but return to the Lord in sackcloth, in ashes, and tell God, oh Lord, I have wasted, but I don't want to be irrelevant to the kingdom of heaven. I want to be relevant, Lord. I want to do your will now. Please forgive me, cleanse me, and may you perform your word and restore the years. Oh, hallelujah. Whatever age you are, God can restore. What you were supposed to do in your younger age, God can restore it, and you can do it now when you prostrate yourself, consecrate yourself to the Lord. Oh, how wonderful God is. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Father, we want to thank you for your restoration. Thank you for the release of your utterance in this place. Lord, let your people, and now I want to give you a commandment from the scripture as the servant of God. Redeem your time, because the days are evil. Do not be unwise, dear children, but understand what the will of the Lord is. This is the commandment I want to give you. Ephesians chapter number 5, 16 and 17. Hallelujah. Yes, Lord. Hallelujah. Do not be manipulated by the devil. Oh, about the usage of time, and spend your time in the wrong place. Oh, hallelujah, with the wrong people, in the wrong assignment, but come out of those places and understand the will of God. Do not be unwise, but be wise, doing what God has called you to do. Not only in relation to ministry, but also your job, what you are doing and earning for your family. God has a specific place. It's the assignment. Do it in God's ways, and you will never lack God's supply. I remember what the great evangelist that went to China from England said, Hudson Taylor. He says, God's work done in God's ways will never lack God's supply. That is what he said. Oh, he had no money, no investment, but he went by faith to China, and he became an independent missionary, and God never failed him. God will never fail you if you understand what he wants you to do and do it and be under his covering. He will never fail you, brothers and sisters, in the name of Jesus. Father, we want to thank you for this wonderful time and for this gathering. Oh, Lord, that you will transform the lives of people through this word and revive and restore yours through your prophetic utterance in the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth. Father, I cover all of us with the blood of Jesus. Give the meetings of the weekend, Saturday, Sunday, into your hands. Continue to speak to us, O Lord. In Jesus' name we pray. And we say, amen.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. Give a shout of amen.